Let us turn now to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, and consider again verse 9. Matthew chapter 21 and at verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we were trying to say something last Sabbath evening, particularly on the Son of David, that expression that indicates the Messiah, the Old Testament promise to David was that he would have a seed, and there would be a particular seed who would be a king, who would rule after him. And the people of this time, when Christ was in the world, they recognized that this was the time when the Messiah would come. And here, there are a large crowd of people, and they are recognizing in some way or other that this was the Messiah, the great king that had been promised. And he is coming into Jerusalem, and they will make a procession. They will bring him in. They will treat him as a king. They will cast their garments on the colt, the foal of an ass. They will cast their garments on the Lord as he comes in. He is a king, they are recognizing. Now, it's probably not possible for us to recognize how, what degree of spiritual understanding there was and what they were saying. They are quoting from Psalm 118, a messianic psalm, at least in part. And they are recognizing that prophecy has been fulfilled, that this was the one that was to come in the fullness of time. And the other point I wish to stress, as well as them regarding Jesus as the Son of David, and therefore the Messiah, is the expression, Hosanna, repeated here, Hosanna in the highest, and Hosanna means save now. And if people are thinking of the word Hosanna in relation to David, in relation to Jesus, then they must in some way be thinking of him as one who saves. Are they asking for salvation for themselves, to be delivered from the wrath to come, that they might be laying hold on eternal life? Well, they were using the word anyway. They were using the word in some sense, rightly, but it's another matter how many of them were looking to him as a savior suitable for them in their need. And he was suitable to them. And they did have needs. And here was the one they should go to. Yes, and it's the one to whom we should go in our needs. And they are many. Well, we will just say a little more about the Son of David, and then, the Lord enabling us, we will go on to speak about the word, Hosanna, as it is used here, as it is quoted from Psalm 118, which we were, of course, singing. Well, as I have indicated, going back to the first point briefly, the Son of David indicates the Messiah. And that, it would seem, was how the people were using it. He was the Son of David. Well, he was the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the one who is to be sent as a great king, as David was a great king. He was a type of the one that was to come. He was a picture of him as a king who would rule over the nation of Israel. Well, of course, we have to bring this in, that Jesus was to rule over the spiritual seed of Jacob, of Israel, or of Abram, if you like. But if we go to Abram, then we cannot avoid thinking of this, that the children of Abram is an expression for those who are believers. Abram being particularly obviously marked out as a believer. His children then are believers. It's a spiritual expression. Are we among the spiritual seed of Abram? Well, we need to look to the Son of David. We need to say, save now, I pray thee, Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. We could put that like this. Spiritual prosperity. Send spiritual prosperity into my soul. We'll come to that. Some things in that along these lines. Yes. But here is one who was to say, we have it in Revelation. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. He was the root of David when David was in this world. How was David what he was spiritually? How was he a godly man? It's because the one that was to come in the fullness of time as the Messiah, he was his root. It's from him that all blessing came to David. David was a godly man. David had the Lord's blessing because he was looking forward to Christ when he would come in the fullness of time in human nature. Yes, he was from all eternity God, took to himself a human nature, that in the union of these natures, that is the one who was both God and man, he might work out salvation for sinners, he might work out salvation for David. Yes, David getting the benefits beforehand of what Jesus was to do. I'm the root and the offspring of David. According to the human nature, he was the offspring of David. But, you see, the passage goes on. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. For the sake of Christ, you see. For the sake of the Son of David. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Bride of Christ, the Church of God. The Bride and the Holy Spirit are saying to sinners here, come. Come away from your sins. Come away from the way that leads on to a lost eternity. Come and cast yourself upon the one who came into the world to save sinners. Treat it as a faithful saying. Treat it as what is worthy of all acceptation. Come, he is saying. That's his message here this evening. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's what the Church of God is commissioned to do. If it would do it faithfully, if it would believe the need of sinners, as sinners before a holy God. Yes. Because of what Christ did, because of what the Son of David did, come, sinner. That's the message from the Church. That's the message of the Holy Spirit. It's there in the Word of God, which is the product of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spake or wrote, we could say, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And we would think that that is the word come being used in the opposite direction. Are you saying that this evening to Christ? Come where I am. Come with thy saving mercy. Come to make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, come. To make me grow in grace. Come to keep me. Come to keep that work of salvation going in my soul. Yes, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. O sinner, whatever your thirst is, come to Christ. Do not be going to the fountains of this world, the entertainments of this world, or whatever it might be, the riches of this world. What is it? Yes, let him that is athirst come, and let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, whosoever. That's wide enough. It includes you, called by God's grace. Yes, you say come to Christ. You say come to the Holy Spirit. Come to supply all my need. Yes. And make me willing. Make me willing and able to say come. And make me willing and able to come and to receive the water of life freely. And at the end of chapter 20 in Matthew, we have the two blind men sitting by the wayside. And as Jesus passed by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. They've got it. They've got a grasp of this truth. Here is the Messiah. And they're saying, have mercy on us. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art able to heal. Thou art able to heal our bodies. And perhaps, very likely, they were able to say, thou art able to heal our souls. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. They were to hear the voice of Christ. And they were saying to him, come. Have mercy on us, O Lord, the Son of David. Yes, and Jesus asked, he has said, he's going to stimulate more activity in their souls. And that's the way that Jesus speaks still, as it were, in the hearts of sinners, to stimulate further activity, to stimulate the person calling, to go on calling, to ask for further blessings. What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Yes. Is the Lord saying to you, do you feel that he's saying that to you this evening? Or at any time? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And what will you say? O Lord, that the eyes of my soul might be opened. You may have gone for some other reason. You may have gone to ask some blessing on you in connection with some difficulty in your providence, and the Lord doesn't leave you at that. He may give you that, but he asks you further, what else do you want? Do you want the great blessings of life? Do you want spiritual blessings? Oh, think, sinner, sinner, still in the kingdom of darkness as far as you can see, and he is saying to you, what do you want? Well, whatever else you ask for, see that you ask for this, Lord, that the eyes of my soul might be open, and that I might see the Son of David by faith, that I might see him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Yes, the Son of David, the Messiah. Well, let us go on and say something about the prayer, Hosanna. It's in Psalm 118. Save now, I pray thee. Or save now. Yes. The prayers of Scripture are good prayers to be using. And if you are in any degree concerned about your soul, here is one to use. Save now. Or save, I pray, or I pray. Come where I am in my need. Come and save. Thou art the God that wonders dust. You can say that to Christ. Of course, the triune God, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, is able to do wonderful things. But this is something we can say in particular. To Christ, thou art able to do wonderful things, and do these wonderful things of salvation to me. Save now. Yes. You see, the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. The Lord Jesus, are we asking that he would do various things for us? Well, make sure you ask this. Save now, save my soul. Put life into my soul. Come and work by thy Holy Spirit, that I would not be left to myself. And whatever these Jews of that time meant when they were saying this, they were using scriptural words, and one can hardly believe but that some of them at least were using these words in a spiritual way, that their eyes had been opened, that perhaps their eyes opened at this particular time when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, and perhaps surely there were some. Not saying how many, I'm not saying it was many, but surely some had their eyes opened and got a face view of Christ on that very day, at that very time, and saw him as the one who had come into the world to save sinners. Save now. Save me. I need to be delivered from the wrath to come. I need to be delivered from my sin, from my ungodliness, from my unbelief. But thou art the one who is able to save. Yes, that's in what they were saying anyway. But what was adding is that surely there were some who were using these words in a spiritual way. And someone has written that this Hosanna was a joyful acknowledgement that the salvation so long promised was now come. It's there in Psalm 118, and it's now roughly 1,000 years later, over 1,000 years. And they are saying, save now. What was spoken there in the way of prophecy I'm assuming and giving that figure that was being said, it is a psalm of David. But, you see, it was the prophecy. It was prophecy. And they are seeing that it is now fulfilled. And we should see it has long since been fulfilled. And the Savior who was then riding into Jerusalem, that he might conquer the evil one, that he might work out salvation for sinners, he has long since gone to the throne of glory. Christ Jesus, God-man, he is on the throne, he is ruling. And this is a great part of his rule in this world, to draw sinners to himself, to exercise his authority over this sinner and that sinner, and multitudes of sinners, and to give the Holy Spirit in his administration of grace. He gives the Holy Spirit to work in the heart of these sinners, whoever you might think of, and he makes them willing in a day of his power. And he brings them to say, what amounts to this, save now. Yes. There is an acknowledgement that the Savior has come. What a great matter. That's the gospel, the good news for lost sinners. That's what ought to be proclaimed clearly from every pulpit. Sadly, that's not the case. But we're trying to proclaim the gospel. It's a message that Christ gave his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we're here. We're here in Inverness and we've got the gospel. Yes. Ah, well, sinner. Are you seeking for the gospel to be applied to your soul? Are you crying out to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and work in you and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus and give you grace to be looking to Christ? Yes, the one who came in God's great name to save. Yes, and they were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were recognizing him at least outwardly. But perhaps we should focus on those who are saying it from the heart. They were praising God that the promised one, the Messiah, had come, the one anointed of Abe by the Father, the Holy Spirit given to him without measure. Yes. And he lives a perfect life in this world. He dies a perfect death on behalf of sinners. It's all for sinners, you see. Christ working out redemption so that those who believe in him would have their sins washed away and be made holy, and so that his perfect life would be accounted for those who believe in him. No believer can live a perfect life, but Christ has lived a perfect life for them. And the benefits of that life, what he has earned by that perfect life, can be put to the account of those who believe. Yes. And we're to cry out in our souls, Hosanna, save now, save me. Go on with thy saving work, believers may say. It's a work that has not yet been completed. It will not be completed until they are passing out of this world. How perfect they will be when they appear at the gate of heaven. How perfect. Yes. There's something to praise God for. We've got plenty to praise God for. But there's one thing. How perfect every believer will be when their soul is separated from the body And when that soul is brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the king and there to abide. Yes. And as I suggested already, we can hardly think of King Jesus apart from this, that his name signifies Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joseph was told before his birth, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus. We're to realize that that name has meaning. What is said about Jesus? Well, whatever it might be, we're to think this. What is spoken about Jesus? It's in relation to this. He's the Savior. He came into the world to save sinners. He gave his life a ransom for many. And that's to be testified. In the due time of the New Testament age, testified fully. Yes. There he is. He's on the throne of glory. He has provided redemption. Provided redemption for sinners, a full redemption, so that all their sins can be washed away and that they can be accounted as fully righteous, as if they had never sinned, as if they had always kept the law. Oh, say again, Hosanna, save me. Save me according to this wonderful provision. Deliver me from the wrath to come. Deliver me from coming to the end of my life in this world. As if, deliver me from coming to the end of my life in this world with sin still reigning in my soul. Yes. The Lord will finish his work. And then that believer will be brought into heaven and fit for an entrance, a glorious entrance into heaven. That's what is true of every believer whenever they die. Today or at any other time, yes. He came to give his life. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Not to be served, but to serve. And here is his service as the servant. Behold my servant. Well, here is the servant. Working in the service of sinners that they might be saved. Doing the will of the Father that his people might be saved. Yes. And to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay the price of redemption, the redemption of sinners. What's the price? The wages of sin is death. He came to die so that sinners might go free, so that sinners might not die. The second death, so that sinners might not die eternally. What a wonderful work. It's a suitable work for you as a sinner and for me. May we be receiving Christ, the one who came. He came to finish the work, to do the whole work for sinners. And we're thinking that there was some among the crowd who really understood, who understood in some real measure what Christ had come into the world to do. Not a earthly ruler, as very likely many of them thought. But you see, it's a spiritual, eternal ruler. and he gave his life that sinners might go free, that they might not die, that they might escape the second death. Yes, and he is bringing them home. Think of that. Christ, who died for sinners, he is on the throne of glory, and he is bringing sinners home. Yes, bringing sinners home to their eternal home. Yes. And you have godly Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and he knows that John, his son John, is the forerunner of the Messiah. Behold, I send my messenger before my face, who shall prepare the way before me. That's what was prophesied. And Zacharias goes on with the prophecy, following on from Malachi's prophecy. That's it. What has the Savior done? He's coming. Yes. Mary is bearing a child. What a child. Elizabeth had a remarkable experience of bearing the forerunner of Christ. That was Elizabeth. Now there's Mary, and Zacharias is meditating on that. We should say more. He is inspired by the Holy Spirit, for this is to be recorded in Scripture. And he is saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's visiting them. Visiting them with salvation. Visiting them with the Savior. And he has redeemed well. The redemption has not yet taken place. But in a sense that doesn't matter. It's so sure that the work of redemption will be carried out. Yes, he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation, a powerful salvation. God was raising up a powerful salvation. Nothing would be too strong. No sinner would need too much redemption, if I can put it like that. But that the work of Christ would be sufficient to redeem that soul, to deliver that soul. There was a remarkable example of Manasseh. Though that was done before the redemption was worked out, but it was done, if I might say, on credit. Yes. Manasseh got salvation. Manasseh was redeemed before ever anything was done to work out redemption. But for all that were given by Christ to the Father, you see, there was a sufficient redemption. A sufficient redemption. A completely sufficient redemption for all who will come to Christ. Do not hold back from going to Christ because you feel your sin is too great. Your sin cannot be too great for your redemption. Yes. It's a divine person who worked out salvation. It's a divine person who sits on the throne as King, administering the blessings of salvation. And he has never failed, and he will never fail. He will not fail nor be discouraged. in all the work of salvation. And however often, however long, however determinedly, a sinner may refuse to come to Christ, and the eye of the Saviour is on that sinner and has been from all eternity, that he would become a child of grace. And no matter how determined that sinner might keep on, it might be to keep on in the kingdom of darkness, to go on in sin, to refuse the light and continue in the darkness, the power of Christ is sufficient. Notice what I'm not saying, that it doesn't matter if a sinner rejects Christ. That sinner may not, the sinner listening to the word of God may not realize that it is his last opportunity. And if it's his last opportunity and he refuses Christ, then he will be lost. But what I'm putting stress on, or what I was putting stress on, is that nobody is to say when he has been called by grace, or when she has been called by grace, my sins have been too great. No, come to Christ now. His grace is sufficient for you, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. There's no limit to his redemption. There's never a time when the sinner thinking seriously about his soul should say, it's too late to pray Hosanna. Too late. Oh, do not leave this particular opportunity. Christ is encouraging you to say, Hosanna, save now. Save now, I pray thee, Lord. I pray, send now prosperity. Send prosperity to my soul. Yes, come now. It's not too late. Come to Christ. Yes. But we notice that when the chief priests and scribes saw the children crying, and they were in it, the children were crying, Hosanna. They got caught up with the spirit of the occasion, and perhaps even among them, there were some who were praying from the heart, Hosanna. But the Pharisees and the chief priests and scribes were not pleased when they saw the children especially crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased, it says. But Christ had always an answer, and a perfect answer. We should be asking for help when we need to give an answer. Save now, we might say. I need to give an answer, and the Lord can help. What a blessing. But you see, what did Christ say then? He asked the chief priests and the elders, did ye never read in the scriptures? Psalm 118 again, and we have it at verse 42 in this chapter. Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The most important stone in the building, and the building here is the church of God. And the builders, those who were supposed to be building the church of God at that time, and they rejected the chief cornerstone. They rejected Christ, though he was the Son of David, though he was so often foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. And they refused, though he was the headstone of the corner. And that's the way we're to look at it. The church is built upon Christ. He is the one that died for sinners. He was the one who died that there might be a church. A body of people made holy. a body of people who were given grace to believe, and they came, and they were kept, yes, and they went to heaven, the people from that generation, yes, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, yes, and they went on saying, save now, or what amounted to that. It might not be a word you use in your prayers. Well, if you are one of God's children, I'm sure you have the substance of it. Save now. Save me, Lord, for the sake of Christ. Bring on the work of salvation in my soul for the sake of Christ. Yes. Yes. And the promise was fulfilled. I will pour upon the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Surely there was a fulfillment of that on the day of Pentecost. I will pour. And that's a great word. Pour. I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Was there not that in the work done on the day of Pentecost? Why were the words of Peter blessed? Why were the words of the other disciples blessed? It was because there was a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And they were brought to cry, save now, I pray thee. They were brought to cry, Hosanna. I'm sure they were. It's not mentioned. But we do read of them going to Peter and asking, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? We who have crucified the Lord of glory, what shall we do? And Peter told them that they were to repent. And sometimes the word repent includes the idea of believing. And I'm sure that's the case here. Peter told them to repent and believe the gospel. And they did. By God's grace. Many of them at any rate. I don't know how many thousands of people there were in the congregation. But we're told that 3,000 were converted on that one day. Ah, there was a pouring out of the Spirit. How much this generation needs an outpouring of the Spirit, and how much it is necessary for the unsuitable for the people of God in this generation to be crying out, save now, pour out the Holy Spirit. May there be a great blessing. May there be multitudes gathered in from Satan's kingdom. Yes, we are to be asking. The Lord is able. We should have desires kindled by a reading of the scriptures, desires kindled by the Holy Spirit. Save now. Save multitudes. Save sinners everywhere. When there is some fulfillment of the Church of God going out into all the world to preach the gospel. Oh, we should be asking that the word would be blessed. The word among ourselves here may it be blessed. Let us say, save now. Use thy word to come with power into the hearts of multitudes, and that the influence of that would spread and spread and spread, and that God would be glorified. Yes, save now. Hosanna. And it is to be addressed to the Lord of glory. Yes, and the passage I was quoting from in Zechariah 12, it goes on, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Christ speaking in the way of prophets. He was to be pierced. He was to suffer. He was to die. He was to pour out his blood. Give up his life, in other words. "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, as the one who died for sinners. And they shall look by a God-given faith." That's what we need. It's what we need for ourselves, to be looking. And that just means it, to be believing, to be trusting in the one who died, and the one who gave his life a ransom for many. Yes. We are to ask. We are to plead earnestly. Yes. "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his firstborn." And that surely is a great mourning because of sin. And that may particularly have in view a mourning because of a mourning and repentance because of what they did to the Lord of glory. Yes, in that same city, and probably some and who were one day crying Hosanna, and another day crucify him, crucify him, as they were caught up in the whim of the crowd, whatever he thought was paramount in the thinking of the crowd. Yes, crowds, mobs can be very fickle. But you see, here's something, and there's no fickleness in it. They shall mourn. They shall mourn earnestly. They shall be overcome with mourning. Yes. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Ah, what a wonder. Believing, faith. Faith and repentance mixed together. Faith and repentance, no doubt, following him all the days of their lives. Yes. Created by the Holy Spirit. Nurtured by the Holy Spirit. And going on through the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in their souls until death would bring them to eternal glory. Yes. And you see, you have this in Psalm 118, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation." We're to praise. If we have had benefits, saving benefits from the Lord, we're to praise and we're to thank. You remember the 10 lepers. And they were all cleansed. They were delivered from their leprosy by the Savior. But only one came back to thank. We're not ten cleansed. Ah well. Is every child of God here coming to thank, coming to profess what the Lord has done? You see, it's clearly a duty. And it's a duty corresponding to that, to remember the Lord's death. To remember the Lord's death till he come, till the end of the world. Or perhaps it's not the application of the verse I've quoted from, but it's in it. It corresponds to it. Until he come, until the Savior comes to take this child of his home to glory. There'll be the table spread in heaven. The memory of what Christ did. The memory of Christ coming into the world to save sinners. And the fruits of that great work being seen in the praise, the eternal praise that is to be offered up in heaven. Yes, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard. Thou hast heard my hosanna. Thou hast heard my request for salvation. Thou hast heard my pleadings. Yes, it's to be acknowledged with thankfulness. Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Or again, at the end of the psalm, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. And again, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is kind, for his mercy endureth forever. I will praise thee. Ah, what you might say is, give me grace to praise thee. And that's a suitable petition. You might feel it is too much to say, I will praise thee. You might feel that you cannot praise God, that you haven't the grace to praise him, to thank. Ah, well, he is able to give you what you need. And we are to be praising God for his benefits to us, for his saving benefits, for his answering the petition that we have before us. If that has taken place, we are to thank. We are to show our thankfulness by living a godly life, by living a prayerful life, by living a dependent life, by God's grace, you see. Comes back to that. Our own inability, the believer's inability. But there's this, that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. That's a great matter. The intercession of the Lord for his people. And that's in Hosanna. The request that the Lord would save. And that involves the prayer for Christ to make intercession for us. Here I am, and I'm so weak, sin is so powerful, and I need to be cleansed. I need a new heart. Save now. Hosanna. Yes. The Lord is able to answer. The Lord is able to give grace. The Lord is able to give his Holy Spirit. And Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to present our poor petitions before him who has earned the right to give saving mercies, to give all saving mercies. And let us remember that he is calling on us to come to him. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Holy One, bless us. Mix thy word with faith in our hearts. O, do wonderful things, thou who art God. Thou who art doing wonderful things, do wonderful things in our souls, each one of us, young and old. Oh, come to work wonderfully. Come to bring us to thyself. Prepare us for eternity. Help us to pray. Help us to ask for thy salvation. Help us to say Hosanna. Help us to recognize Christ as the Son of David, the great and glorious Savior. Help us to know that none perish that trust in him. Help us to trust. Give us grace. Thou knowest our needs. Build up thy cause. Work wonderfully. Hey, that thou wouldst preserve thy cause, that thou wouldst give thy people grace to pray for thy cause. Grant it, Lord, that thy cause would be built up and that thou wouldst have the glory. Send out those who would preach the gospel. Be blessing the preaching. Be blessing what has been done today and will yet be done. Oh, come in infinite mercy. Remember a communion season and give thine own blessing for time and eternity. Pardon our sin, draw us by thy grace. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Be with us in thine infinite mercy and wash away our sin. Do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.